Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Official Action and Federal Corruption Statutes Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 27, 2016, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in McDonnell v. United States. Robert F. McDonnell, former governor of Virginia, was convicted in a jury trial of 11 counts of corruption. During the trial, prosecutors sought to prove that McDonnell and his wife Maureen, while he was governor, accepted money and lavish gifts in exchange for efforts to assist a Virginia company in securing state university testing of a dietary supplement the company had developed. The McDonald's, prosecutors argued, took official action on behalf of the company in exchange for money, campaign contributions, or other things of value, in violation of various federal statutes. Robert McDonnell was sentenced to 2 years in prison. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit affirmed McDonnell's conviction, but the U.S. Supreme Court granted his request to remain out of prison until the court resolves his appeal. The question before the Supreme Court is whether official action under the controlling fraud statutes is limited to exercising actual governmental power, threatening to exercise such power, or pressuring others to exercise such power, and whether the jury must be so instructed, or, if not so limited, whether the Hobbs Act and Honest Services Fraud Statute are unconstitutional. To discuss the case, we have William J. Hahn, who is an associate at Hunton & Williams, LLP. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Hahn.
I should make very clear at the outset that while I have been involved in writing amicus briefs in support of the governor's position in this case, my comments today are strictly in my own capacity. They do not reflect upon our amici curiae clients or my law firm, Hunton & Williams. They are just my own comments. And with that disclosure, I will begin just giving a brief background as to the facts of the case that are relevant to the issues raised before the court today in McDonnell versus United States. And this is a public corruption case involving the Federal Honest Services Fraud Statute and the Hobbs Act, both of which attempt to criminalize various forms of federal bribery, that is, giving or receiving something in exchange of value, specifically something in exchange for a particular official action as it's defined under the federal bribery statute. The government's case here centered around Governor McDonnell's interactions with an individual named Johnny Williams, who's the CEO of a Virginia-based company called Star Scientific. The issue here is that, according to the government, that Governor McDonnell would help essentially Johnny Williams obtain certain research studies regarding a product of Star Scientific from the University of Virginia, Virginia Commonwealth University. And they identified through the Honest Services Fraud Statute and the Hobbs Act five particular specific actions that were taken by Governor McDonnell, and then looked at the temporal proximity to the otherwise lawful gifts and loans that Johnny Williams had given Governor McDonnell over a series of time to conclude that those gifts and loans and other contributions were in exchange for these actions. The actions including inviting Johnny Williams and other people that he recommended to a cocktail reception, then also Governor McDonnell reaching out to officials to see him about research studies related to Star Scientific, whether Governor McDonnell suggested that two subordinates meet with Star Scientific about whether its product would be good for state employees, Governor McDonnell asking a subordinate to send a staffer to meet with Johnny Williams, and Governor McDonnell appearing at a lunch at his executive mansion at which Williams presented checks from Star Scientific to state university researchers. And Governor McDonnell made some comments in that regard. The Eastern District of Virginia a jury found him convicted of Governor McDonnell of the Honest Services Fraud Statute violation and the Hobbs Act violation. Nevertheless, Governor McDonnell had repeatedly argued that these actions that I mentioned did not qualify as official actions because he didn't take or pressure anyone to take any action on any government matter. And he requested jury instructions reflecting that, including that merely arranging a meeting or attending an event or hosting a reception or making a speech are not standing alone official acts, and that you must decide, the jury that is, whether the conduct at issue was intended to or did in fact influence a specific official decision that the government actually makes. and that, as the Supreme Court has said, mere ingratiation and access are not corruption. Rather than engage those caveats, the district court quoted from the federal definition of bribery under 18 U.S.C. 201A3, which defines official action as a decision or an action on any question, cause, matter, suit, proceeding, or controversy which may at any time be pending or which may by law be brought before any public official in such official's official capacity. The district court then also added that official actions includes actions that have been clearly established by settled practice as part of a public official's position, even if it wasn't taken pursuant to responsibilities assigned by law, meaning that an official act could include acts that a public official customarily performs, even if they aren't described but in any law, rule, or job description, and that a public official need not have actual or final authority over the end result sought, so long as the payor reasonably believed that the public official had the influence or the power or authority or means to influence the end sought by the payor, and that additionally official action can include actions taken in furtherance of long-term goals, and that it can be one in a series of steps to exercise influence to achieve an end. The government expressly disclaimed at trial that there's any need to focus on whether or not there was pressure applied. They also emphasized, as I said, that since anything could be a part of a series of steps to exercise influence, that Governor McDonnell could be charged with official action simply posing for photos or making comments or ribbon cuttings in exchange for money. As the government somewhat infamously said, whatever it was, it's all official action. And perhaps unsurprisingly, then, the jury convicted Governor McDonnell on all 11 corruption counts. And the Fourth Circuit affirmed that conviction. They affirmed the instruction. And the Supreme Court granted certiorari, and argument was held today. And so perhaps unsurprisingly, a large portion of the argument today focused on the need to try and determine, well, what is the limiting principle to official action in the federal bribery statutes? We have the language, but as we already know, as was repeatedly acknowledged by a number of the justices, in determining a definition of corruption, you look at quid pro quo. That's the Supreme Court has identified as the only single definition of corruption, quid pro quo, a this for a that. And there's been a series of cases that suggest that a quid can be essentially anything. It can even be, as was pointed out today multiple times in oral argument, it can even be a campaign contribution. Or as Chief Justice Roberts pointed out, it could be trout fishing. Or as Justice Breyer pointed out, it could be going out to a nice lunch with a French wine that I can't pronounce. It could be any number of things. And so we know that the quid is essentially limitless. So then the question becomes, what kind of limitations, if any, exist on the quo? You would think initially, and it was certainly true, that this would be a question that would be most challenging for the government. But it was also the case that Governor McDonnell's counsel experienced some pushback on their own limiting principle for the definition of official act, particularly the governor's counsel not only identified the exercise of government power, the threat or the pressure to do so, but an attempt to influence the exercise of government power. And Justice Breyer, Justice Kennedy really took issue with some of the phrasing and framing of how Noel Francisco was characterizing that influence aspect limit on official action. And the Chief Justice Roberts even suggested, well, that perhaps then the definition of official action could vary based upon the office holder. A secretary who schedules meetings for a governor or a president could very well have as an official act arranging a meeting. One of the things that the governor's counsel in this case says is not an official action. So there was some struggling on both sides with respect to this limiting principle. The governor's counsel told the court that the jury was never told, rightly so, that they had to find an attempt to influence, and reminded the court that the government's attempt to limit this instruction is just as vague. And at that point, Justice Kagan also came in and looked at the five specific official acts that were pled in the indictment against Governor McDonnell to see whether or not the governor's counsel thought that any of them would or could be official actions. And she focused specifically on contacting Virginia officials about performing the research studies. And there, interestingly, counsel for Governor McDonnell focused more on a sufficiency of the evidence type argument rather than arguing that this could not ever be an official action for purposes of the bribery statutes. Sufficiency of the evidence argument meaning that this wasn't proved to the jury. The jury could have very well agreed that Governor McDonnell didn't sufficiently apply any pressure or influence to Virginia officials about performing the research studies, and there wasn't any evidence suggesting that that was the case. But nevertheless, because of the erroneous instruction, they were compelled to convict Governor McDonnell. And so that's, it'd be interesting to see how in the ultimate opinion, what the distinctions drawn between a sufficiency of the evidence challenge to what was pled against Governor McDonnell plays against whether or not certain actions inherently are not official actions for purposes of the bribery statute. But going back more generally to this vagueness issue, as I said, it played a large role in trying to understand the limitations on official action. And perhaps the most notable moment of oral argument came when Justice Breyer, frankly, just reamed into the government on his very serious concerns about using criminal law as a weapon to cure the unseemly behavior that seems to be at issue in this case. And whether or not, given that we know that the quid side of the quid pro quo is functionally limitless, what exactly, if anything, is going to limit quid pro quo from being simply ingratiation and access, ordinary routine political courtesies. A large part of our transactional politics and representative government is based upon constituent responsiveness. And drawing that distinction is very difficult, as Justice Breyer pointed out, for political figures who wouldn't know where the proper bounds are in determining compliance with the First Amendment. Is not something that we want political officials and those who interact with them, their contributors, their supporters, to constantly be worried about running afoul of. And then moreover, as Justice Breyer pointed out, it also raises a serious separation of powers problem where the Justice Department is functionally going to be in charge of policing the good behavior of political officials at all levels of government. You'll recall that the statutes in which Governor McDonnell was charged were federal statutes, the Hobbs Act, the Honest Services Statute. The definition of bribery is, of official act comes from the federal bribery statute pertaining to federal officials. But at no point were issues of state law raised, and that was because the federal government functionally swept into the case. And so you have an issue where the Justice Department could be policing the behavior of all federal, state, local officials with a nebulous understanding of what constitutes official action. And he seemed to be very, very troubled by this, and the government's response was essentially that you needed to look not simply at the definition of official act, but you needed to look at other aspects of a bribery charge, acting in one's official capacity, for example, whether the duties sought were official duties for purposes of the bribery statute, in addition to the quid pro quo concern. But again, Justice Kennedy returned to this, said that you can imply an agreement over time with a quid pro quo, meaning that when a contributor takes Senator X out to lunch, there need not be a formal agreement in place. There need not even be a tacit agreement in place at that particular point in time, but rather you could look and see over the course of years, perhaps, whether or not you could imply a quid pro quo arrangement between the contributor and the senator in order to infer federal bribery or honest services fraud violation. And so there's a real concern for some kind of limiting principle. And this came up again and again and again by Justice Breyer, Justice Kennedy, Justice Alito. And then ultimately, Chief Justice Roberts suggested, well, maybe the problem isn't so much with the different language that's being proposed by one side or the other. Maybe the problem is that the statutes itself possess vagueness defects. In a case called Skilling versus United States, decided the same term that Citizens United was decided, the Supreme Court found dealing with the Honest Services Fraud Statute that there were serious vagueness problems with the Honest Services Fraud Statute. Every single member of the court identified that. The dispute among the members of the court was whether or not the statute could nevertheless be salvaged. And three members of the court, Justices Kennedy, Thomas, and Scalia, thought that it could not, that the statute was unconstitutionally vague. And so maybe the concern is not so much that counsel for Governor McDonnell can't come up with a good limiting principle because they're not looking at the statute the right way, and that the government can't come up with a good limiting principle because they're not looking at the statute the right way, but rather that the statute itself is the problem, and that it simply cannot be cured. And while Skilling may have made sense as a first step to try and narrow the statute to core bribery, if we're still dealing with these kinds of vagueness problems, and we still can't define what an official act is, even when we're talking about core bribery, then maybe the problem is worse than that, and we need to revisit it. And the government responded that would be a stunning result from the court, but Justice Kennedy swiftly followed up saying that would it be stunning to say that the government hasn't given us a principle that we could work with? So I do think that may suggest that the court was not buying this idea that what separates trout fishing or routine political courtesies or a lunch with a fancy bottle of wine from the quote-unquote evil corruption is just how bad it looks, which was functionally, it seemed to be, the government's argument, which is that no one really would seriously bring a political prosecution for routine political courtesy, so you can trust us not to do that, at which point Justice Kagan identified one of the official acts to which was pled against Governor McDonnell, which dealt with hosting a party and allowing Johnny Williams to invite people. And the government then explained why it thought that was nevertheless impermissible. But it does suggest that the jury instructions an issue in this case did cause the court some difficulty, that vagueness is on the mind of a number of the justices, and that vagueness concern, as it did in Skilling, transcends the traditional ideological lines of the court. And then finally, also, there is this issue about whether the sufficiency of the evidence pled against Governor McDonnell will play a larger role than what in and itself can be an official act for purposes of the statutory definition. But I think it's very clear from the argument that the government has an uphill climb.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.